Last time on the Weebcast.
The latest episode of Healing Good taught me how to cross the street and like what green light and red light meant, so that was really useful and edifying for me.
Shinichi's day of retribution could come.
That's true. He could kill her.
They call themselves the Kimono Friends, yet they are nothing but enemies to the United States and democracy around the world. We must launch a tactical nuke at Jupari Park and put an end to their criminal ways once and for all.
Shut the fuck up, I'm putting on my pants.
Let's say, hypothetically, that I'm Daddy. And let's say, for the sake of argument, that you are my little girl. Okay, that would also make you my little cum slut. And as I am Daddy, and you are my little cum slut, you could say that would make you a bad girl. And you could say that that means that you need punishment. Since I am Daddy, you are my little girl, I must administer punishment.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Weebcast. I am Tone, and today I am joined by Jejun.
Hey, what's up, dudes?
Frig.
How's it going?
And Jejun also brought a special guest with him. Jejun, who's in the studio with us?
We got Cerno.
Yes. The studio that is modeled exactly after the Drake and Josh house. We haven't mentioned this yet, but it looks exactly like it. So, you know, I think that's important information.
And in case you're wondering, yes, Jejun is Drake and Corvo is Josh.
sorry, folks. Cerno can't really say anything. She's feeling a little stuffed right now.
That's so fucking gay.
Yep.
All right, today we are talking about the very shitty, oddly controversial Western
kind
of fake anime Ruby. Some shit made by Rooster Teeth in like 2012.
Bad. Let's come up really with a name. What do you want to call these things? Like they're like a weeaboo. They're false animes. I mean, really what they are is it's a false anime.
It's literally false.
It's not made by Japanese people, but I guess we could call it, you know, we could call it like a wanime. I mean, it's not a cartoon.
A wanime.
Japanese for fake is nisei, so we incorporate that into it.
And it is a story, which in Japanese would be Monogatari, so I guess one could
Monogatari.
I guess you could call it a Nisei Monogatari.
That's what we're calling it now.
But I mean, I wouldn't call it, you know. So I guess the weird thing about this is the fact that unlike other shitty Western cartoons, they decided to make this in Miku Miku Dance.
Yes.
And that is no bullshit. And they're gonna pretend. Rooster Teeth officially pretends that they didn't make it in MMD, but people have found the models that they stole.
They definitely stole MMD models. There are definitely recolored Toohoo characters in it. I forget.
Yeah,
I'm not the biggest fan of that series.
Oh, it was recent. It was recent.
Yeah, the bunny girl.
Yeah.
She's in it, but she's brown, like her.
I remember that one. Yeah, I remember that one distinctly because that's the one that I pointed out. Because I remember using that model for a little project I worked on a while ago. And they just straight up took an MMD model and recolored like one layer of it.
And this show is like, we'll get into what it's about.
Yeah, we'll get into it, I think.
But like this show, this isn't, I mean, this is low-hanging fruit, right?
Right.
But like, it's not like a not popular show. It's definitely like lowering in popularity, especially nowadays. But like, I was playing a couple months ago with my brother. I'm not a big fighting game guy, but there was this Blaze Blue cross like Persona fighting game, and I thought, okay, I'll play that with him, whatever, I'll play a couple rounds. And I was going through the character roster, and there's fucking Ruby characters in it. And this is like a professionally made like game. This is like Arc Systems, I believe. I forget who makes Blaze Blue.
It's really weird because like over in the West, this this, you know, this false anime, like, it had a huge cult following when it was, you know, when it was still being made or whatever, when it wasn't complete yet. But I never really understood, like, why this thing was so popular. So we decided to watch it one day while everybody was drunk in SciTube. Yeah. And, yeah, it's something.
It's bad.
So I guess we should, let's go over the, so we got a couple of characters here. So we have, I don't like this. So they gave all of the characters that I want to fuck, they gave them all male names for some reason. Like Blake is like a sexy, like, cat girl who, you know, she's kind of, very socially distant, because she's a, you know, in the show, cat girl race people are like the black people of this universe.
Yeah, we'll get more into it a little later, but
so, you know, she's very, you know, she's in need of a taming. You know, she's really in need of a taming, but you know, she's nice, but they gave her fucking name is Blake. Yeah. And then they have this other character. In case you didn't know, so the name of the show Ruby, it's an acronym. It stands for the first letter R stands for Ruby.
Yeah, so yeah, because the main character's name is Ruby.
The main character's name is Ruby. W is for Y.
But the name of the show isn't related. It's not named after her.
Right.
It's named after her
not.
Team.
Team, which is like a weird mashup of the first names of all the characters. So you got Ruby, Weiss, Weiss's best girl, by the way, Blake, and then this girl Yang. Yang looks the most like a white girl out of all of them, which is interesting. I don't know why they named her. What was her name again?
Yang Zhao Long.
She just looks like she's just blonde. It's really funny because the terrible shaders that they used in their Miku Miku dance make her tits look like flat washboard mosquito bites, unless she's angled very slightly. And all of us, because there's no lighting.
Yeah.
So this is getting into the animation quality of the show. So there's no lighting at all. No, all the scenes are
If you drop a model, and I've used Miku Miku Dance a little bit, just fuck around with it, right? If you drop a model into it, it looks bad. It's old software, and it's not really meant to just be used stock.
You're meant to tweak a lot of things.
Tweak it, man, yeah.
Which they didn't. So in animation, in the animation,
they made it widescreen, and they made it run at, I believe, at least 30 frames per second.
It's a decent frame rate, which is good,
which is not default in Miku Miku Dance. So the
problem is that when Yang is facing a side profile, you can see very clearly that, you know, she's a well endowed girl. She's got pretty big tits. But when she's facing forward, because they didn't use like a proper lighting setup, the texture just kind of goes flat.
Yeah.
And so it looks like she has a washboard chest with a flat texture where they've like, it's really difficult to explain this. It's like they drew the line where like cleavage would go, but it's a 3D model. So you can tell that there's nothing there. It's really bizarre. This was probably the most jarring thing. Personally, for me, this is why I couldn't jack off the show at all. They ruined it completely. But, you know, the character design itself, I mean, they all look pretty good. The fan drawings are significantly better than the official art.
Yeah.
I think that's partially why the show saw the amount of success it did is mainly just because fan artists were the ones producing the actually good content.
Yeah, there's a very strangely large community for this. I don't get it. It's just like there's no story to this. We'll try to explain the story. Basically, this is Harry Potter, kind of. It starts that way. But then, like, there's, like, a villain. And here's the thing. Frigg and
the villain like disappears. So you start the story off with the main character Ruby, and she is like, she's like a novice. What would you call the people in the show? They're
called hunters or slayers
or something. Yeah, they're not like. It's basically you take Harry Potter and replace wizards with hunters who use these like magical but physical weapons, like, you know, bows and swords and axes.
I think
and
it's supposed to be a ripoff of Grimm's fairy tales, but like done shittily and having Harry Potter interjected with it, which kind of clashes or whatever.
Yeah. So you start out with your main character, Ruby, who is like a novice, and she wants to go to hunting school, and but she, you know, she's poor by herself, or I don't really know. They don't explain any of her backstory at all. She's out on the street by herself, due to a freak incident where one of the city's largest, what would you call them?
Gangs?
Thief gang rings, whatever, heist rings or whatever, hits one of these stores that she happens to be in, which it looks like a library. It's kind of a weird location to do a heist on, but, you know, whatever. They go in there to steal, like, the jewelry or whatever. They for some reason, they have jewelry at this library. They go in to heist it, and Ruby, because she's just such a super special snowflake badass, she beats up all the baddies, and they run away. And this this gets her noticed by one of the people who's high up at the hunting academy, and they get her on the first plane ticket to go to the academy, and that's where she gets rather forcefully put into a team. You know, they really tried to like rush the shit out of the development of the friendship of all the characters, because most of them just like had nothing at all to do with one another, and they just kind of shove them all together into a team.
Here's the thing about this anime, right? I've watched like a show, whatever. I've watched, it's I think 8 seasons long. I watched 5 because I fucking hate myself, and it's fun. I couldn't fucking tell you what happens. The storytelling is so fucking bad. Like, it's just action scenes and then like some gay character shit and then more action scenes, and the character shit isn't good. Like, you don't care about any of these characters, so there's no stakes. Right. Like, no one's gonna die. Nothing really fucking happens.
Basically, like, within, like, the first episode where Team Ruby has been assembled and they're, like, going on a mission or whatever, like, Ruby is giving some sort of motivational speech to the whole class in a scene that's oddly reminiscent of the Chunin exams from Naruto, like, as if they kind of just ripped off the whole plot line of that altogether. So Ruby, who is like the absolute noob of the whole team, is giving this like little inspirational speech. Or maybe was it Ruby or was it Yang? I forgot which one it was. One of them was giving a stupid motivational speech. You just met this character 15 minutes ago. None of the other characters on screen, you don't even know half of their names, because, like I said, you just met them 15 minutes ago. So this motivational speech, it just sounds stupid and forced. And then after that, everybody gets really hyped up, and they beat the little mechatronic monster thing that they were having a hard time with earlier. But it's just like, I don't know, it's just so weirdly paced. Yeah, I feel like they really wanted to. Well, it seemed to me, and all I watched was the first season of this because I couldn't fucking stand it. The first season seemed to be centered around really forcing this conflict between Ruby and the other girl on her team, Weiss. Now, Weiss is kind of like, she looks awfully similar to Anastasia in FGO, or maybe like a Elsa with long hair, or maybe perhaps Miku from Miku Miku Dance with one ponytail cut off and her hair color swapped to be white.
That's probably because, you know, of
Probably because that's what it is. So Weiss is like a sort of like a prototypical snobby rich girl.
Yeah.
She obviously just needs a good dicking, but the show, because of its need to really force in the narrative, you know, they try to make all the characters lesbian or whatever. But anyway, they really want to force out this character drama between Weiss and Ruby. And it's kind of dumb because they like just met each other 5 minutes ago. So there's really no reason for them to have like an existential hatred of one another, but they do. And, you know, they make it through one mission where, you know, one of them saves the other and now they're friends all of a sudden.
Yeah. It's the classic.
I hate you and we become friends, and they drag that out for the entire first season.
Yeah. A season of the show is not that long. Like an hour to 2 hours. Yeah.
A weird thing that I find is, you know, the title of the show is named after Team Ruby's 4 cast members, but there's a serious problem with that in that the writers seem to have forgotten about all the other members of the cast except for Ruby and Weiss, because that's all the show is about, Ruby and Weiss. Yang maybe comes up later on.
Time. Yeah.
They come up later, but it does seem like for a good like 5 or 6 episodes, like they seem to have just forgotten about all the other characters except for Ruby and Weiss.
Yeah, there's Corbo.
I forgot about that.
How do you pronounce
John Ark? It's
John Ark.
John Ark. John Ark.
They're trying to rip off FGO. First.
Right. It's an obvious Rule 63 of Jan from FGO. They pull it off really poorly. First of all, Jan is not clumsy and like bungling around. Jan is, you know, she's very well put together.
Yeah.
Speaking of plagiarism,
maybe should have
Xenoblade as well.
Oh yeah, they did do that. Yeah, they ripped off Pyra.
I mean, this is just the most unoriginal cartoon ever made.
This is like the type of show, if you're the type of guy that'll like watch anime fight scenes on YouTube without like actually watching the show or knowing anything about the characters, like, you'll fucking love this show. If you got like huge autism, like this is gonna be your favorite show, dude.
Yeah. If you really want to get emotionally involved in the character drama of characters you met 5 minutes ago, you know, if you're able to suspend disbelief for that, then I guess you'll like this. But I really want to I just pulled up a picture on Google here. I'm looking through fan art. I'm trying to multitask. I'm looking at fan art, and I see this screenshot of the show where the animators forgot Yang's left arm. So she's just kind of posing. She's just kind of in the corner there. She's leaned up against the wall. You can see one elbow leaned on the wall. And her other arm, they forgot about it.
No, she loses an arm.
Oh, she does?
Okay. And that's like a plot point for like a good like 10 minutes until she gets a robot arm and like don't give a shit anymore.
What? Maybe they retconned it into the show. Get around the fact that they forgot to animate it one time.
Probably.
But yeah, how would you rank the characters in fuckability?
Yang is number one for sure. She's got big tits.
Right. Unless she's facing forward. That's all that matters. Right. Unless she's facing forward.
Well, that's why you got hit from behind.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, now that I know that Yang lost an arm.
The ability of Ruby characters is probably one of the most autistic things I've done.
I mean, before when I thought that the animators just forgot to draw her arm, that was a turnoff. But now that I know the arm was cut off, that actually raises her up a little bit on the list now. That makes her kind of like Meltrillis to me.
See, I'm surprised.
She's probably number two. I'd say number one is Weiss. I like Weiss the best.
I'm surprised you didn't say Ruby because she is an Emoto.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of forget all about Ruby because The show really stops focusing on her pretty early on.
I think
she's kind of she's just like, maybe this is just a problem. This probably is just a problem with all anime in general. But the main character is just like the epitome of like a self insert for someone who's like an edgy 15-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, for starters, all the characters in the show, they use, like, mystical weapons that are, like, one of a couple things, right? They're, like, a sword.
They all have, like, gun blades from
Final Fantasy. Or a gun blade from Final Fantasy. Something practical and common to see in a JRPG. But, no, Ruby is special. She has to have a fucking gun scythe.
Well, no, all the weapons are, like, they all have...
Well, they're all gun blades. Yeah, they're all some form. Gun blades, but she has a fucking scythe, super impractical, and it turns into a long range rifle.
Except Corbo, he doesn't have any gun. He just has
Corbo
like,
just shield. Has the sword and the shield, and his backstory. When you get to see his backstory in I think episode 2 or 3, he just found this sword and shield in like his grandpa's attic, so he decided to join Hero Academy, which is interesting because Ruby made it sound like in episode 1 that this was a really prestigious academy that's like impossible to get into.
Well, she's just really, really, really dumb.
She must be, because Joan Arc seemed to just like stumble into there by accident and they just let him in because he had a sword and a shield that he didn't even know how to use. It's Bankai, you know, and they just let him in. Weiss, you know, Weiss, she's very proficient with the magic, totally not gunpowder that, you know, her dad, I guess her dad makes it, or somebody in her family owns, like, the company that produces this stuff. It's basically, like, it's the mana that powers all the, various mystical properties of everybody's little gunblade weapons. But, she's pretty proficient with that stuff. What else? What else can she do? What else can my waifu waste do? She's kind of a tsundere. You know, little hot and cold. Little hot and cold. Unlit textures. You gotta love them.
The animation does get a little better later on.
What I really like about the stolen models in this show is that some of them have lighting. Some of them don't.
Yes.
So Weiss is completely unlit. And by unlit, I mean like, so in animation, an unlit texture is one that whatever the color of the pixels in the texture are when you make them in MS Paint or whatever, that's exactly how they'll show up on the rendered product. Whereas a lit texture respects shadows and lighting and such, so they could be darker or lighter than what the pixels defined out on the texture sheet. But Weiss is perfect. You know, if you're doing HTML codes, you know, it just FFFFFF.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Completely white skin, no shadows anywhere. You know, real Aryan Hyperborean peak aesthetics. Ruby does have shadows.
Yeah.
Yang is, of course, Yang has something crazy going on with model because, like I said, her tits like will vanish. They'll pop in and out of existence depending on the angle she's turned.
It's Schrodinger's milkies.
It really is Schrodinger's milkies, because if you look at a still lover, you have to like think about, does she have A's or double D's? You can't tell.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's because of whatever fucking weird texture they have on her or stolen model they're using, whatever it is. But
the models are very inconsistent.
Blake has a quality model. I think speaking of Blake, we gotta segue into Rooster Teeth's the weird politics of Rooster Teeth.
The weird politics. So all right. They're like weird animal pee. I don't know if it's just cat pee. I think it's just animal ear. Like pee.
I think it's. I like, think there's actually Komodo all. Friends. So yeah, the show has normal humans and it has Corbo Kimono friend people. Yeah.
And the Corvo Kimono Friends are
there for no explicable reason.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, they're not like a genetic experiment or like just, they just kind of, they're just there.
Yeah, they are.
There's no black people, though.
They're kind of like, no, there are black people.
There are.
They're supposed to be like.
Probably the unlit textures.
Yeah,
faded. They probably just like faded into the background.
Yeah. They're trying to do some sort of like racism thing with them, but it just doesn't work because
they're cat people.
Well, because they're cat people,
they don't actually have any visual They actually don't have any visual distinction between the normal people in the show except for their cat ears, which they can just hide by putting a bow on top of their hair.
Yeah.
It's like all they have to do to make the cat ears disappear. But anyway, so according to Blake, when this gets brought up in like, I think it's like episode 6 or something like that. So the cat people, you know, I guess they used to be like oppressed by evil Whitey or whatever in the show. And so they formed a terrorist organization to blow Whitey's shit up. And eventually they stopped doing that for, I don't know, whatever reason. They still do it. And all the
they're
normal,
supposed to be oppressed, and like you're supposed to be like, oh, why do the humans hate the cat people? But the cat people are all like fucking terrorists, or at least terrorist supporters.
Yeah, it's really funny because like the couple of times in the show where they tried to depict like the normal people being racist towards the Kimono Friends, like every single time, with no exceptions, the Kimono Friend person does happen to be like the leader of the local terrorist cell of Kimono Friends that like blow up shipping containers and kill people and stuff.
Yep.
So
this is why Donald Trump is right for wanting
to
blow
actually,
up
Jabari, you know, Park, now that I think of it, it actually is a perfect allegory to like BLM and like black
people. Here's the thing about it, right? They give the fucking Kimono Friends people their own island, and they're
they
like,
get
oh,
their own
that's not good enough.
Yeah, and it's not good enough because they're not given like money or whatever. Yeah. It seems like they're not actually capable of building stuff. They're really only capable of like blowing up shipping containers. They're pretty good at that.
Yeah.
It does show up that so the bad guy from episode 1 that was trying to steal from the local bookstore / jewelry pawn shop / gas station, who also is like the crime kingpin of like the whole city, who personally showed up to rob that particular liquor store, gas station, bookstore, jewelry store, pawn shop. He shows up again during the racism white privilege arc, where it turns out that he's actually working with the cat girl serval Kimono Friend race rioter agitators.
Yeah.
So he's actually the one encouraging them to do all the violence. So there's your right wing Proud Boy terrorist inciting riots there, you know. And Blake, the cat girl on the team, you know, she finds out about this, and now that she knows that the terrorist group she was previously a member and supporter of, now that she knows it's actually run by a white guy, now she feels okay to disavow it.
Yeah.
She didn't disavow it before that episode, and she had like previously come really close to slipping up in you know, going mask off around the normies. But now that she knows that, you know, like it's a white guy running that.
Yeah,
now,
but they
now she's a patriotic American. She's there to fight with Ruby and all the other girls to stop them.
Well, to be fair, they probably called her cat ears funny, and that's unacceptable.
Right, it's really hilarious because it's like when they try to show like the you know, the normal people using racial slurs against the cat ear people, it just comes off as really funny because it's just like isn't there like one time where like someone calls her like furball or some shit like that? Like, it's just like really, it's really ridiculous, like
it's
made up slurs. It's so funny. It's like really ham-fisted. And at like, the same time, it's like nothing that anyone says to her could seriously be construed as like actually offensive because they're just so ridiculous.
Obviously, like, this is like an anti-racist thing, right? But like,
right,
they don't sell it.
They kind of give up on that narrative too. Yeah, it's like they test the waters of doing that for like a few episodes, and then they just kind of are just like, never mind, we'll go back. We'll do something different.
Yeah. Because they realize they fucked
really,
up.
It's just really funny to me. It's like, normally when you look at really paused entertainment, they make the show really good for, you know, 2, 3, 5 years or whatever. Then they start to slip the pause in later. This show, like, tried to ram all the pause in at the beginning and then just kind of gave up on it. And then just sort of made a mediocre, like, normal show from there on out.
Well, it's like, I think like a normal person like looking at it will be like, okay, some racism thing. Wait a minute. Why am I supposed to support this liberal terrorist?
Yeah, because it like, it tries to like, in the same episode, in the same like 2 minute shot, it tries to like justify the righteous cause of the oppressed cat people with, well, I mean, yeah, they do like kill people and like rob stuff and burn shipments of things for literally no reason at all. And also, normal people in this area like literally don't know anything about these people. It's like the struggle that Cat Girl talks about her father, grandpa fighting in, like, that was like an event that happened like 100 years ago in this timeline. Yeah. So it's like, it really is just like really scraping the bottom of the barrel to come up with like a contorted race narrative. Also, nobody is racist to the cat girl until she takes her bow off and decides to let everyone know that she's a cat girl. Which I think is really funny. It's like, imagine like if black people like walked around and they like wore sunglasses and you couldn't tell that they were black because they were wearing sunglasses.
Hold on a minute.
Wait a second.
That's that's basically what they do in the show, but
Dude.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Frig, you wanted to talk about the Rooster Teeth drama you were telling me, right? But like,
right,
it's kind of a problem with that,
right?
So the Rooster Teeth drama, and like, there's so much that I don't know what specifically you're talking about.
Yeah, it was a little vague there, but so Rooster Teeth, you have two sides of a scale here. Like, right, you have on the one hand, the anime itself is, at least in the first season, it really wants to push a lot of kind of, contrived, ham-fisted SJW stuff. But on the other hand, you know, you have, like, the founder, like, beating his wife, which is kind of low-key, but maybe we can't say it on the show, but I'm just going to say, you know, I don't know his wife. She probably
don't know his wife.
She maybe possibly deserved it.
We don't know the circumstances.
Then we have, you know, like, well, they used to have Vic Mignogna, used to be on their staff.
Yeah, that's, like, so, a whole thing. People don't like him because, like, there were a bunch of fake rape accusations.
He used to be based a long time ago or something.
And he refuses to sign, like, gay art that people show him.
Oh yeah, that was the thing. Honestly, let's be real, the rape allegations like didn't exist until he refused to sign the fag art.
Yeah, I think mentioned like a year or two ago on the show, like, there were like people saying he was weird at conventions, but like, that's fucking
everybody
at a fucking, if you go to a convention, everyone's gonna be a fucking weirdo.
If you're looking for weird people at a convention, go look at a mirror.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think the rape accusations are true.
Right.
Like anything.
So they had how many people were there on like founding staff though of Ruby that were like, they were basically all like accused of like various degrees of like literally beating women and shit like that.
There was a lot. There were two voice actors that talked about a game they would play where they would they this is so fucking funny.
What game they play? Just joshing around, Tom. They were just joshing around.
So apparently they would drive around and they'd look for like a cute girl in a car and they'd just like follow her around for a bit.
You know, just to like get her adrenaline running, you know.
Yeah.
Right. I understand.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty based.
Right. It really makes you wonder, like, why would a company with so many based people at it like that, like, why would they make their anime have these kind of little narratives? Oh, I forgot the other one. Yeah, apparently, like, all of the characters are lesbian or something. It's kind of really vague and implied. We at least know that Yang, the big titty blonde bitch, she's like supposed to be lesbian. I could have swore though at the beginning of the show they said she was like Ruby's like sister or cousin or something.
Well, I don't know.
I mean,
I think they're like non. I don't know if they were actually lesbian. Someone talking about how
I mean, the she cat looks girl like she
and Yang are lesbians.
Right,
I don't know if that's
right.
True.
Well, the cat girl, yeah. I mean, the cat girl is an empowered. You know,
but she has like a monkey of color, so I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's a bunch of like Kimono Friends people in this show, and it's weird because the way that they portray this, there's just like two races of people on the planet. There's like humans and the Kimono Friends people, and I guess all the Kimono Friends people are related, but they're all different animals.
Yeah,
like some of them are cat people, some are. You know, monkeys, and I guess they're all related or something. I'm not really sure where they're going for with that. I feel like Dr. Hovind would, you know, have some issues to take up with that. Come on, let's just be real. The reason the cat people were written in the show was because they went on the Miku Miku Dance models website, went the highest rated, and they just picked the first three rows of models.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we have, you know, Raisin from Toohoo is a character in this show, and so is Random Cat Girl, and so is Miku with one ponytail but colored white, and so is, who is Ruby? I mean, I guess Ruby is, like, the only OC.
Some of the models
I'm pretty sure Ruby's the only
OC. I think they, like, reused Miku's face for all of them.
Well, yeah, they all have TDA Miku face. If you look at their models on the show, they're all TDA Miku face. But here's another one. If you look at screenshots of Yang, her outfit is one solid flat color, but her belt is photorealistic.
What?
She has like a belt on her little like you know.
Hey,
short.
Yeah.
On her shorts have like a fucking like photorealistic leather belt, but the whole entire rest of her model is like solid color cartoon cell shaded.
Well, you know, drawing belts is really.
I don't know. It's just I found this to be weird. It's almost like they took an accessory from one model and copy pasted it onto another. And
I don't think they would do that, Frigg.
I don't think they would do that. Though. I mean, that would be.
I don't like. It's all on YouTube. I don't think it's illegal to do this. We're not like accusing Rooster Teeth of any criminal.
Right. I'm not really saying what they're doing is like illegal or anything. I just think it's kind of weird that like, and this goes back to my biggest like gripe with the show is like. This isn't made by, like, it looks like the quality of project you would expect from, like, a 2-to-5-person team. Like, the person that animated the Miku Miku Dance Tom and Jerry cartoons, it's kind of that level of work. Except this is, like, a real company that produces, like, other shit that's way higher quality than this. and they had tons of funding. I mean, Ruby, I think, really kicked off the whole grift of having an established company and then doing Kickstarter to fund your next project.
Did they kickstart Ruby?
Oh, I guarantee they did. They had to. I remember seeing a bunch of shit for Rooster Teeth Kickstarters.
Yeah, they've done that with a lot.
We'll go pause that. Rooster Teeth kickstarted a board game, like a tabletop game for the Ruby series. And they raised $800,000 for this fucking board game.
What?
And this was not a company that was like hurting for money. I mean, Rooster Teeth is by no means hurting for money. They're able to afford paying a staff of like almost 100 people.
Yeah. Right. I don't think it owns by, let me look up their parent company. Because I know they're owned by like HBR or something.
So Tone, how would you rate that tabletop game against Angry Joe's DBZ game?
Oh, well, obviously every Angry Joe product is going.
What would you rate it versus Varg's tabletop game?
He made My one Frog. Actually.
Yeah, he made a game called I think it was called My Frog.
Well, I'll definitely say it's better than Varg's game, but
Oh, sorry, it was not My Frog, it was My Farogue.
That's so fucking autistic.
Whatever.
And it is Varg's personal tabletop game. It's really funny because you can find forums on the internet where shit libs like have to admit like we like playing the game, but we obviously hate Varg because he's an evil Nazi or whatever. But
see, here's the thing.
They still play his game.
That's pretty funny. See, here's the thing, right? The Ruby game might be a Ruby game, but at least the title isn't in English. And that's more than I can say for my, you know? So yeah, Rooster Teeth is owned by Water Media and AT&T.
Holy shit.
What is this?
My Farogue by Varg Vikernes.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, Varg's gay.
Yeah, he was dissing Fallout New Vegas, saying like it's an unrealistic game because you can make someone explode if you shoot them with a gun enough. And it's like, dude, you play wizard games and Lord of the Rings stuff. That's even more unrealistic than Fallout.
You believe in like Odin, some like dude that like drank some cum or something. I don't know the full story of Odin.
Yeah,
I know he definitely drank some dude's cum.
Dude, you got no right calling Fallout New Vegas unrealistic. Like, come on, man.
Oh, shooting Doji.
Oh. I like when she sings about chocolate. I want a small Owie Yuki to live in my ear and just sing songs about chocolate all the time.
What does that mean?
Like a small...
Okay, Tone, so in Healing Good, Owie Yuki sings a commercial about like pre-cure chocolates. It's very Kino. It's only like 10 seconds long, but Owie Yuki does a great job. It's such a catchy song. No, that's Nautica's voice actor.
Oh, okay.
So voice acts Shooting Doji.
I would like
that's why they have the same hairstyle.
I would like a Tamamo.
I don't think that's fine.
You have a Tamamo housewife GF, you know, and she'd make me food and wash the dishes, and I could sneak up behind her and bury my face in her floofy tail.
Frick, that is based. Yeah, here's the chocolate song.
Okay.
Wow. Yep.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've never
That's
heard
gotta go.
Well, it's gonna be playing in the background. Yeah. I don't even know what to say after the chocolate, dude. What the fuck was I talking about? Yeah, fucking Rooster Teeth is a weird-ass company, dude. I don't. What the fuck did they do before Ruby? I believe
Red versus Blue.
Red versus Blue.
Hello, Machinima. It's okay. It's just kind of like Guitar Master X7 retard daycare, but like with better production values and stuff. I wasn't really into Halo, so I never really watched it.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of miss the Halo craze. You know, like by the time I played it was kind of like done.
Yeah,
like Halo 4 or 5 was out when I like first played Halo 2.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about Halo till the third one on 360 came out, and I played a bit of it at my...
We have a super chat from Powder Gig. bringing that classic bit back. No, yeah, he reminded us about something we were talking about in when we were I tried to bring this up, but Frigga interrupted me, like always. So the creator of Ruby, if you look him up, he's not around anymore. He's fucking dead. He fucking died.
Yeah.
He died of an allergic reaction to cats. He's highly allergic, or he was.
Right. And that might make you wonder, and that would make you wonder, why would a person with that's highly allergic to cats, why would they have a cat?
Well, I'll answer that, Frigg. His girlfriend at the time, she kept bringing stray cats into the house, and this is like an ongoing issue. This happened like a couple times, and it eventually fucking killed him.
Right. Which is why, that is personally why I think that in the show, the cat girl race people are terrorists, because, you know, the creator of the show was in you know, his personal experience with cat people, he's terrorized by them. So
yeah, apparently
that's why he wrote them that way in the show.
There was some drama. She like sold some of his old shit that like he didn't want sold or something. I don't fucking know. She was like trying to grift off of him dying or something.
I mean, she killed him eventually. So yeah,
she killed him and she grifted off of it, which is really, really funny.
Now, I am a little disappointed. This show doesn't really have what you would call post-game content on.
Oh yeah, hentai. Dude. Yeah, man. Let me tell you about old head Coomer Chads back in the day would, you know, play a game or watch an anime, complete it, and then to celebrate, to prove that they've truly completed the game, they would commemorate by going on Gelbrew, looking up fan art, and jacking off, but only once they finished it.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
before, because that's cheating and dishonorable.
I mean, Powder Kid can't watch the fucking Final Fantasy VII Fuda porn until he beats Final Fantasy VII.
Right, exactly. Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense. But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking right now on. I know we're on Normie Hentai and not the good site, you know, Sad Panda, but we only have 18 results here for the show.
Yeah,
and that's pretty disappointing in the face of superior series like FGO with how many things does FGO have? Just a modest. Hold up a second while I navigate to the tag.
And hentai.net. What's the
domain? Only a modest 8,000 doujins for
what is the nhentai?
It's nhentai.net. Don't fall for a substitute fake website. Yeah. Which I guess if you add up the totals for all the fates here, we got for Apocrypha, we got 65, 5 for Extella, 151 for Extra, 8,000 for Fake Grand Order. 330 yeah. for Hollow Ataraxia.
Yeah, Fate Grand Order.
It really pushes above its weight class. It really just is all the doujins. It's just all the doujins on the
Yeah, it has almost overtaken Idolmaster, which has been around since like
the really early impressive
2000s. Very and, impressive.
Keep it up, Weebcast Army.
Yeah, keep it up.
Yep.
Now they have a tag for original, which is strange because that's new.
That's the differentiate OC content.
Yeah, but like they didn't go back and label all the
original. Yeah,
well, they'll a lot never of retroactively do that.
Yeah, a lot of stuff is just uncategorized. But
yeah.
Oh, Mithra.
Yeah,
I'm gonna copy and paste this art here. I mean, you definitely.
Thank
need
you,
to see this.
Oh, that's pretty good. She's my favorite. She's blonde and has fucking huge tits.
I like that.
And Mithra. Long legs.
I like that Mithra has a nice tit window.
Yeah.
Built into
it's
her
perfect
costume.
For Paizuri.
Really perfect. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
That's kind of one of the things about Ruby. There isn't a like tits. There's not a lot of fan service.
Right. I mean, they probably could have had it if they had fixed the lighting and animation. They probably could have had it, but
yeah. Well, I think it's like all done by faggots and shit. Like,
and it really sucks because like Miku Miku Dance does support boob physics out the box. All you have to do is click. I mean, it breaks. It'll spaz out and go insane, but it does support it.
The problem with boob physics in Miku Miku Dance is that the way the physics on the boobs work is the same as the hair, so it's just bouncing around like fucking crazy, dude.
You can accommodate. You actually are able to set the mass of individual bones in the skeleton, but I don't know. It goes through. And
to be fair, I kind of don't think that this is done in Miku Miku Dance.
It could have been done.
I think they stole a bunch of Miku Miku Dance models and put them in
something
Blender
else,
or yeah. something else. Maybe Source Film. Probably not Source Film. But I don't know. Because Miku Miku Dance, like, kind of, it's not the best for this type of animation. You can do it, but it's really finicky and, like,
it would be, great. It would definitely be inconvenient to animate the whole thing in MMD. Yeah. But, I mean, getting MMD models to work in Blender is pretty easy. Yeah. There's just one plugin that you can use.
Yeah.
You just have to remap all the textures. Which is probably why a lot of the models are untextured, because you have to go in and remap textures, or you can just pick a solid color.
Exactly.
That's a little bit easier to do, but that's probably why a lot of them ended up the way they did.
We haven't really talked about the voice acting. What do you think of the
voice acting? Is it's run of the mill white girls voicing anime girls.
It's really bad.
It's bad, but it's not like there's never gonna be a good dub. Dubs have not been good since the 90s.
Yeah. Well, did you ever meet like a fucking like girl when you were in high school that's like, oh, I love anime.
I can't relate to movie
I've
girls.
I've never met a woman that I didn't beat.
Based.
No, but like it's like that girl got a fucking career as a voice actor. It's really bad. It's very obnoxious. It's like obviously fat women going like, yeah.
Well, it's women. It's bad enough. You know, you have to have women around anyway to do the job of voice acting female characters. But it's women that want to encroach on my hobby. And they like it for the wrong they like it the wrong way and for the wrong reasons, and that's why I don't like them.
Yeah, I can't remember honestly. The voice acting is forgettable, which is probably like even worse
There's
than it being shitty. Because like, at least Umaru, you know. That I hated that.
How would you stack this show up again? I mean, I guess the only real comparison to this show is going to be Kimono Friends.
You just reminded me of something. I got to apologize to Corbo because, you know, I said Kimono Friends looks like shit. It does, but you know what? It's not the worst animation I've ever seen. The early season, like season one of Ruby, is way fucking worse. Like Kimono Friends is kind of competent in comparison, so sorry Corbo.
Right.
You know,
I'll give Ruby this. It doesn't try to look like it's 2D. It runs at a normal frame rate.
Yeah, they did do I think an okay job of accepting, you know, that CG is just gonna have a certain particular style. Mm-hmm. I do wish that they had chose. The biggest issue, I think, is the inconsistency in character design. The characters, just every individual character in the show looks like it was made by, like, someone with a totally different vision of what the show's characters should look like. Because just there's no, like, they're just all over the place.
Yeah.
There's no consistent art style, it just looks like shit's just kind of slapped together as far as like the scenes that they go into. you see some scenes, like there's one part where they're in the tuning exam, where they're like in the woods, and it looks like they just used like props and stuff that are meant to work for like a magical themed environment, but they're not using magic. They're using like bladed weapons that turn into gun blades.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's other environments where they're in like fucking Hogwarts style castles. And then there's other environments where they're in like brutalist urban landscapes. Like they're in like, there's one part where they're in like a destroyed like Detroit city kind of thing. It just, it really, everything.
Yeah, and the style changes completely.
The style changes every scene, which is incredibly annoying.
Yeah. Some of the fight scenes are okay. Again, like I said, there's no stakes. They look good. They're well
choreographed.
Shot.
I think they're choreographed pretty decent.
Yeah. I'm kind of like an art fag when it comes to cinematography and shit. Like, I think it looked okay in the fights. It was kind of a little too heavy on shaky cam at points, but it wasn't bad. It definitely, use CGI, I think you should do a lot of cool camera angles that would be hard to do in 2D, and they do that.
I think they definitely, the fight scenes, they took heavy advantage of the fact that all the characters use like various gun blades. They really, they did work pretty hard to choreograph fight scenes to where they were using just, I don't know how to describe it. It's just, it's really anime style fights, you know, just like using dumb shit. Yeah. Like, for instance, like Ruby would like, swing her like her scythe thing and like use the propulsion of the bullet coming out of the gun portion of it to like propel it faster into the enemy. Shit like that. They would heavily utilize like the physics or exaggerated physics of a gun blade type weapon throughout all the fight choreography.
Yeah, I think really the conclusion to come to with this is like if you're autistic, like 12 years old.
Yeah, you would love
have
this.
ADHD.
If you're in middle school and you like to cut yourself, I think you would really enjoy this show.
Yes. And I think that's it with that. You can find us on Anchor FM, The Weebcast, also on Spotify, The Weebcast. We've been streaming on DLive. We're probably going to stream.
Yeah, tell them about what you're doing.
I've been streaming games, been streaming Persona 3. That's pretty fun. Some other PS2 classics. Keg convinced me to play Kingdom Hearts.
We played it for 1 hour and decided it was a terrible false game.
I might be streaming some other stuff. We were doing Dead Rising 2. That was fun. We might do more of that. I think the night this comes out, we'll stream around 10, 11-ish. That's usually 9 through 11 is usually when we start streaming.
Right.
And that's most days.
It's really Big evocative. Tony, it's really evocative of apple juice.
Yeah.
Megan.
Big Tony 1611.
Based choice.
That's my username, DLive. It's if you're on the site, Right Wing Entertainment Squads, you'll find it on the sidebar. You'll also find Frigg. Frigg, what is your DLive?
My DLive is DLive.tv/Frigginator. That's FRIGINATOR. Usually stream if I'm going to be rolling the gacha or just otherwise grinding in FGO. I'll be streaming there. Pretty irregular, but sometimes you'll see me up there with pals like Flamenco.
Yeah. Flamenco's also on the sidebar. If there's a new FGO event, Frigg usually streams
it. That's fair to say. Yeah, if there's an event, I'm no lifing it.
Are you going to stream Warfest?
I'm gonna be this week, of course, all the FGO spurgs in the audience will know, you know, we got Guildfest going on this week. So I'll be streaming intermittently off and on throughout that. Go there to check me out there. You can also subscribe to our buddy Flamenco. He's also gonna be doing some FGO streaming about the same time.
Yeah. you can
our audience knows
watch out for our buddy Garden. Yeah. He's going to start streaming, hopefully on DLive. And Powder Keg is going to stream eventually when he gets his shit set up.
Yeah.
Look out for that. Yeah, judging
how DLive works. Once I figure out how DLive works.
I'll show you how. What's your DLive?
It's J June. That's J like Blue Jay, and then June as in J O O N.
Yeah.
Right now he's streaming on YouTube.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's everything.
We got plenty of content coming your way, folks. Though.
Yeah. And we're gonna end out with a bit. Jejun recorded it. I did some editing. I think it came out very interesting. we hope you like that. And the music after that, of course. All right, we will see you later.
One of the best wormhole experiences. Going to the Bloom by Magic Eyes has got to be one of the best wormhole experiences I've ever had. And I've had many. First off, it's a hip-style wormhole. Hip-style masturbators usually have better durability, offer more stimulation, and can give more of an immersive experience than their single-handed counterparts. And Virtual Bloom has got to be one of the best hip-style wormholes out there. To begin with, the packaging is pretty great, as with most Magic Eyes products, and there's even flaps and compartments on the box for you to use with the wormhole. Although, in my experience, the box doesn't withstand much, but it was still a good attempt by Magic Eyes. Now, with the actual wormhole, when you first open the packaging, you're presented with the wormhole in a bag and a single-use packet of glue. The bag containing the wormhole is a bit greasy along with the wormhole, but there's no bad odor, and the greasiness goes away with quick rinse. As for the holes, Virtual Bloom has both a vaginal and anal hole. All the vaginal holes when you're paying for here. The vaginal entrance is easy enough to get in, but immediately gets tight once you're past the lips. Working your way in further can be a hassle at first, but it's a pleasurable push, especially if you like your anal holes tight, because BAM is this anal hole tight. Once you press in far enough, you'll find where the anal and vaginal tunnels meet, joining into one end tunnel. This end tunnel is slightly less tight, but gives another sense of pleasure and accomplishment as your member presses into its deepest region, and the orgasms that this tunnel can give are amazing. As for the anal tunnel, it's okay. It's not the best hole in the world, but it's fun to switch to when you're on the verge of orgasm, but not wanting it at the fun just yet, as it's not as overwhelmingly intense as the vaginal tunnel. So overall, this is one of the best wormhole experiences I've had. It's tight, it gives a lot of feedback, it's lasted a very long time. 6 months plus of the time of writing this review. Cleaning and maintaining this wormhole can be a hassle, especially for someone new to wormholes, or who doesn't have much privacy, but the pleasure this thing can give is worth the cleanup hassle. Highly recommended.